The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, picks and IPAs, all 32, running down week 8 of your NFL picks and going back into week 7, talking about some of the week 7 action along with who did the best in the Pick'em League. And the answer this week, introducing first, Jared Timm with 160 points.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon.
Big week for you, dude.
It's good to have a lucky week, everyone. I mean, skillful week every once in a while just to get back up there. I think I went from 80-something to 18th.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Yep. Yeah.
It's a big turnaround, and that means introducing second Seahawks fan, my good buddy, Adam Emmert.
I'm not in second. Jared and I are tied. We're tied.
So you're in third.
not for the weekly picks, though.
Oh, not for the weekly.
Not for week
Was
seven.
I better than you this
Which
week?
Which I won.
Was I really better than you this week?
Better than me?
Yeah.
I think we might have tied.
Okay, because mine weren't good.
But I did do the I did do the intro, Adam, so I don't need to really introduce myself.
Well, and in case everybody forgot, Adam did take that Patriots-Jets pick to the bank, in which case he is now flat broke.
Hey, man, that was a competitive game. I won't hang my head on that. But because you don't introduce yourself, Brandon, let's bring in Brandon. Brandon Schultz, member of the Military Seahawkers, dead last among the three of us in the pick-ums, but we love them all the same.
And so generous that you let me pick the beer this week. This week we're drinking Red's Apple Ale, which actually came recommended from my brother, who would he said I should give it a try. And it's actually one of the more commercial beers available, so this is something you can find everywhere. It's by Miller Brewing Company, and this is what we're drinking this week.
I like thinking out of the box a little bit this week.
Hey, look, and Miller is better than Anheuser-Busch. So, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, Beard.
The Beard Affluency? What were you going to say?
Brewed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
So there you go. Just for you, Jared. A good Milwaukee beer this week.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
Well, beer-ish. Ale.
Beer-ish. Here it is. It's different. It has its own niche. If you're cracking one open and expecting a beer, then you're doing it wrong. That's pretty
much
the
wrong one.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. But we'll get more to that. But it's interesting, tasty in its own right.
Well, what do you say we run down this week's picks, Adam?
Let's do it. All right. Well, let's get right into it. Starting out with the Thursday night game, and that is the resurgent Miami Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots. Brandon, do you believe? And Dan Campbell and his altar sacrifices, like the things that he does to fire up this team, because apparently he's pretty hardcore.
He's pretty hardcore, and it's worked this far. He's got the team to two wins under since he's taken over, and this is the week that it comes to an end because they are going to lose to the Patriots. 89% of the users agree with me on this one. Only 11% going Dolphins. Patriots for me.
You know, the Patriots have shown that they can win games any way they want to. They can run the ball well. They can flat out throw it 50 times a game. It just doesn't matter. Dolphins are a much improved team. I think it's been all coaching, and that's shown that. They've become this completely different team. They're one of two teams that just all of a sudden got good. Them and the Saints. They just all of a sudden kind of something clicked, and they had some chemistry all of a sudden. Unfortunately, it's going to come to a halt this week against Genghis Tom, Adam, in New England.
The Genghis isn't having any of this nonsense. Like, he's going to take this Miami Dolphins team that has beat up on the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans, who are both bad, and he's going to show them what real football is all about. Look, you are absolutely right, Jared, about the fact that this team, the Patriots, they can win any which way. Tom Brady, the Genghis, had himself 15 yards rushing in the game. He led the Patriots in rushing.
Wow.
And he took on a tough Jets team and tore them up late in the game. Mm-hmm. Jets were up, I believe, 5 in the fourth quarter and still managed to blow that. So Yeah. I'm going the Genghis all the way on this. I think just 89% of America agrees. The 11 that don't, then get off the heezy because you're smoking too much.
Well, and I don't think the Patriots are going to go undefeated by any stretch.
No, but this
is I don't think this is the one that's going to give them their first loss.
I don't either. All right, that takes us to two teams that nobody has any idea who they are. I mean, other than we think they're bad, we just don't know exactly how bad. Detroit Lions on the road versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Your AFC West divisional rival, Jared, who you got?
Well, I wish the Chiefs were a little bit better. I'm one of those guys who is a fan of having the other teams in his division be good because it legitimizes your wins against them if you get them. Unfortunately, that's not the case for the Chiefs. I'm going with them because they are at home. That's it.
Brandon?
Well, here's the thing about picking the Chiefs because they're at home. This is a London game, Jared, so really there is no Arrowhead advantage for the Chiefs here. And 71% going with Kansas City. I think at least 21% of those folks probably are just going with their Arrowhead advantage here. And I think this is a 50-50 toss-up game, which is why I'm going with the 1-6 Lions and 29%.
I was gonna go with the Lions until you said that, Brandon. here's the thing. I look at these two teams and I ask myself: Do either one of these teams do just at least one thing well? Do they do at least just one thing well? And I look at the Chiefs; they don't do anything well. There's not one thing they do well.
Yeah, they check the ball down pretty well.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, that's not a dynamic skill set.
No.
Now the Lions actually are seventh of the league when it comes to passing the ball and just yards per game. There's one thing that they do well. And that's more than the zero things that the Chiefs do well. And really, the Chiefs on defense have been giving it up in the passing game. They've been stout against the run, but that doesn't matter against the Lions. They don't run the ball. So as much as I don't like it, I think I'm taking the Lions here.
I think this one might bite me in the butt because we're going to be traveling through Detroit. And so the fact that I don't pick them means they're probably going to win.
Yeah, probably true.
Still going with Kansas City because I'm going to pick up a pick on you guys.
Oh, right. Okay. It's about time for you to you're going to have a lapse from your lucky week here. All right.
It was a skillful week.
All right. That brings us to the New York Football Giants on the road against the New Orleans Saints, who seem to have found their mojo. I don't know if they found like a witch doctor down in the bayou or what happened here, Brandon. But this defense seems to be playing at a little bit higher level than it did earlier in the season.
It does. And Drew Brees getting it done for the Saints. And I'm also optimistic on the Saints. It feels like these last two games that they're starting to pull things together. They got the win over Dallas where they had that the overtime win. And then last week they get another win. So up to 3-4. The Giants, I still don't know what to think of the Giants. They're just kind of an average team, and they're week to week. They're on and off, which means if I pick against the Giants, they're probably going to win. But it kind of goes with the same way with the Saints. So I have to go with the home team, and actually most people are at 57%, but still kind of a coin flip game. Still 57% with the Saints.
I'm kind of in the same boat where, you know, it's their home team. They've looked pretty good the last couple games. I don't know if I'm sold on them being a good team, but all of a sudden they seem to be. And based on that, you never know who the Giants are going to be week to week. This has been the Giants for as long as we can remember. And so I am making this pick banking on the fact that maybe the Saints have turned it around. I'm going with them at home.
I couldn't agree with both of you guys more. I mean, this boils down to the home team. And really, the Giants, just like you said, flip-floppers, you never know what they're going to be. Well, they won last week, so that must mean they're going
to
lose this week. And that's why I'm going with the Saints.
Maintain their 500 average.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm not sold on the Saints having turned the corner. Yeah. But you're right about the Giants being exactly average in almost every single aspect of football. And Drew Brees will be able to exploit that secondary enough to get the win, I believe.
You know, it's been amazing to watch him with an injured shoulder be as accurate as he's been mm-hmm. and as effective as he's been.
He's a warrior.
Somehow the Saints' offense has kept defenses guessing. Granted, it hasn't been the best teams, but it's still quality NFL football, and he's finding a way to do it.
Well, Mark Ingram has played respectable football. I mean, he's not running the heck out of the ball, but I mean, he at least gives you a little bit of a threat. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped with them being able to mix it up a little bit in their offense. All right, moving on to the lucky-ass Arizona Cardinals versus the Cleveland Browns. Man, they were gifted that game last night. I went into it on my do better. Just thanks, refs. Thank you. You know, I looked at this game, guys, and I mean, this is just obvious. It's the Cardinals, even though they've struggled with some mediocre teams. Just the Browns are terrible.
One thing we've seen consistently with the Cardinals is that they win against teams with losing records. That's been their MO this year so far. And this is a team with a losing record in the Cleveland Browns. Now, one thing we didn't talk about, Adam, in your Do Better, was that play for the Cardinals where CJ2K, Chris Johnson, was looked like he had been tackled to the ground. His forward progress had been stopped. And yet he gets up and runs for another 50 yards, and the officials didn't blow the whistle. Yet we see in a Seahawks game where Marshawn Lynch is down near the goal line, still pushing forward, still trying to get yards, and yet he gets they don't call the touchdown. Now, fortunately, he gets the first down in that case, but you see this inconsistency among officials, and they're supposed to call it. They're supposed to err on the side of safety, and that's not what we saw in the case of Chris Johnson.
Well, the problem with the referees is that they're not full-time referees. I mean, these guys do other things. Let's just pay them a wage and actually make them full-time officials. And that way that they can study all these things and get on the same page and maybe be a little bit more consistent. Because, yeah, you're right about that call with CJ2K. It's maddening. It's maddening. And there's a lot of there were so many calls in that Arizona game against Baltimore that went Arizona's way, just like that one.
All of them went Arizona's way.
They did, and they've had that happen so many times this year. They're the luckiest team in football. Well, second luckiest. whatever with them. I'm taking their luck, and I'm going Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going Arizona, too. 95% of users, this is kind of the no-brainer of the week among the pick 'em.
Wow. I'm not sold on this Arizona team one bit.
Me neither.
They are the luckiest team, and I don't think they're going to travel very well. But, Brandon, like you said, they tend to beat the low-level teams.
If the Browns were 4-3, I would pick the Browns at home.
Yes.
But they're 2-5.
Yeah. They can't really figure it out. And I really wanted to pick the Browns, but I can't.
You just can't find a way, right?
Yeah, I can't justify it.
Even though I think
that this could be an upset, I have to go Cards just because they keep getting lucky one way or another. If they weren't getting this lucky, I'd probably pick the Browns at home.
Yeah.
But I can't justify it.
Yeah, you just can't find a way.
Mm-mm.
All right, moving on to what I think is one of the more difficult, I looked at the wrong screen here. this is not a difficult game to pick at all. San Francisco 49ers at St. Louis Rams, Jared. Rams housed, who did they play last week?
The Browns,
right?
Yeah.
They housed them. Todd Gurley, third straight 100 rushing yard game.
Are you going to maybe admit he might be all right?
I never was saying that he wasn't good. I just said I didn't know yet. And, yeah, he's looking pretty darn good. I think he could be a real player.
Yeah, you know, with that front seven with St. Louis, they have been dangerous, and they've been wreaking havoc in the NFL. They really have. I don't think their 3-3 record actually shows who they are. I think, like they have been for who knows how long, they're a quarterback away. But with the 49ers, with St. Louis's run game and their front seven, the 49ers won't be able to move the ball, and they've kind of struggled against a run at times. So at home, St. Louis, this is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, if the front seven for the Seahawks did what they did against the 49ers, look out against the Rams. We might be seeing Blaine Gabbert before it's all said and done in St. Louis. This one, as far as users go, pretty easy. 87% going with the Rams, and I will be going with St. Louis as well.
Jared, a quick question. How broken is Colin Kaepernick in your eyes?
Well, there's all those stories coming out about how he's isolated in the locker room.
I think that's BS.
It could be. But I don't know if he's broken as a player or he's just disappointed and dejected with his whole franchise. You know, he lost so many leaders and guys that he looked up to that I think he's just kind of lost his direction. And granted, I don't know. This is just my opinion. But it seems like he's directionless when he's out there. That's how he looks when he plays.
He looks with his helmet off like somebody stole his candy.
I know. And this could be yet another game where they only score 3 points. Yeah. That's got to hurt.
Yeah. It's a joke show in San Francisco. It's crazy.
And it's kind of sad to watch.
It is. I said that on the pod earlier this week. It is kind of sad to watch Kaepernick in this state and this franchise in this state with their porn star coach. Like, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch.
Especially with all the diehard Niners fans who have been there for so long. Their team moves all these players jump ship. Their coach is gone.
Yeah, the diehard fans didn't come with them to Santa Clara.
No, because they're San Francisco fans.
Did we tell you at all about any of Brandon's experience there in the stadium?
Yeah, and the lobster.
Yeah, not being able to stand during the
game.
Yeah,
that's pretty ridiculous. They lost a lot of respect for this franchise when that happened.
Yeah, and the stadium was indeed half empty. That actually happened.
That's inexcusable. That's them in San Diego, man. It must be a West Coast California thing.
Oh, San Diego, those fans just gave up on their franchise because they're like, screw you, owner. Dean Spanos.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Take your team if you want them. We're over you.
Yeah.
All right. To an NFC South battle between the choke artist Tampa Bay Buccaneers, thanks a lot, against the Atlanta Falcons. Brandon, again, this seems like one of those no-brainer picks.
Well, it's definitely, this is probably, I may have misspoke in picking the no-brainer of the week. 96% with Atlanta, only 4% with the Buccaneers. And
wow.
I'm having a hard time with this one, though, because I watched the Falcons play Tennessee and only score 10 points. And that was really surprising to me, and it makes me hesitant to actually go with the Falcons here. But the Bucs, after watching them choke away a win in Washington, that's one of those things I don't think you just bounce back from and then beat your division rival that's only lost one game. So I'm going with Atlanta.
You know, the Falcons have actually struggled a couple of times against bad teams. And they might struggle again this week. And the Buccaneers Washington Redskins game was my favorite one last week because they blew a 24-point lead to screw Adams' pick.
They had a 97.5% chance to win the game at that point. Gave up an onside kick.
Hey, that was good enough for me.
And a stat to the captain.
Good enough
captain
for me.
Captain Kirk.
But this Falcons team, I think what we're kind of starting to see is a trend, and they are going downward in this trend. And I don't think they're going to continue to. I don't think they're going to get better throughout the season. I think they're going to plateau or get worse, but they're not going to lose this game against Tampa Bay. If they were playing a slightly better team, I'd probably pick against the Falcons at this point, but not with the Bucs.
You know, Atlanta, their struggles have all been rooted in self-destruction. Like, it's a lot of turnovers. It's a lot of just dumb penalties. It's about them. If they can ever figure that out, I think Dan Quinn's kind of a coach that will be able to right that ship at some point, but I don't see it happening this week. They're going to struggle a little bit, but Tampa's just having a hard time with the fact that they're starting a rookie quarterback. Even though
that's tough,
he's shown some promise and he's played okay, it really, at the end of the day, the guy's still learning how to win, and you saw him fall apart in that Washington game. I'm going Atlanta as well.
When you need consistency from the quarterback position, if you want to win in the NFL, I mean, I know that's a very obvious and cliche thing to say, but when you're starting a rookie, even a guy in his first, second or third seasons, it's going to be tough to win some of these types of games, especially.
I couldn't agree more. All right, an NFC North battle between Teddy and the Chuckler in the Chicago Bears. Brandon, I mean, again, this seems like a no-brainer.
It does. It's a few, but it's not as far apart as you might think. 20% of users going with the Bears. I'm inclined.
20% of people in Missouri use meth. That doesn't make it right. That may or may not be true. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Look it up.
Here's the thing with this game. I need to catch up on you, Adam, and I know you're rolling with Teddy, and with the Bears being the home team, and it being that North rivalry, I'm going with the Bears this week simply to try and catch up on points because I'm that far behind.
You're pinning your hopes to a chucker?
I'll take it. Hey, maybe this is the week he doesn't throw any picks. You never know.
Well, it might be.
A division game, I don't think it's too horrible of a pick. Because you can lose a divisional game at
any
given point.
That's why I'm picking the home team. And that's why I think this is a chance for me to maybe... I think it's going to be close. And that's why I'm in a close game, I would give the edge to the Vikings. But because of the fact I'm behind in points, I'm going with just the fact that home crowd and maybe the Bears get it. Look, the Bears almost got it done against Green Bay in week one with Chuckler at the helm. So I think the Vikings, you know, clearly aren't as good as the Packers. And so that gives them a better shot against this team.
Well, that's exactly why I picked the Jets last week. Is a divisional game, you never know. And yeah. I figured that might be the chance I could take.
And you went with the road team, which was a mistake, but that's okay.
To bury you guys in the picks. But I left the door open for Jared.
Well, there are only two divisional rivalries that I think will never, I guess, come to fruition for one of the teams. And one of those is the 49ers are not going to beat the Seahawks for like the next 10 years. And also the Kansas City Chiefs just will give us a game rather than try and beat us. And I don't think the Bears are going to be beating the Vikings for several years. First of all, they have John Fox as their coach. He's a ho-hum kind of guy that's not going to get it done. And we just got done talking about consistent play in a quarterback. And I think Teddy Bridgewater is as consistent as you need to win games. And I think the Vikings are going to do some damage in this game. They're going to beat the Bears. I don't think it's going to be close.
You're right about the consistency of Steady Teddy. And he really does.
Good guy.
You know, play the game well.
Yeah.
And handing that ball off to AP. That Minnesota defense is tough. They're actually a good unit. And I think they're going to give Cutler fits all day long.
They're okay. Matt Ford, they're okay, Adam.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Well, they stifle our offense. If that means anything.
It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything.
I know. I know.
Okay. Well, on that, let's move on to the AFC North battle in Pittsburgh. It's not Three Rivers anymore, but it ought to be. It's Heinz Field. I still call it Three Rivers because it's a better name. Jared, who you got in this matchup? Big Ben.
Big Ben's coming back. He might still be a little hampered by that injury. You know, I don't think Big Ben gets rusty after injuries anymore. I don't think that's something that happens. And a big part of me really, really wants to pick the Steelers because Big Ben is back. Their defense showed that they have good chemistry and they can play. They got a good running game. I just, his first game being back, I don't think he's going to beat a Bengals team that's clicking on all cylinders right now. These guys are actually playing really well. And I think this is going to be a really close game, but ultimately the Bengals have figured out how to win games this year. And I think they're going to win this one on the road against Pittsburgh at Heinz Field.
At Ketchup Stadium.
Don't get me wrong. I don't feel good about this pick because if there's any time that there's going to be an upset, this would be the game. I think it's going to be so close and evenly matched that I'm going with the team who's shown that they haven't lost yet. So
it's time for some of these 6-0 teams to go down. And with Roethlisberger coming back, this is the time to go with the Steelers, you know, to energize that team on offense and do maybe just enough on defense to stop that Bengals running game. I'm going with the Steelers at home. More people are with the Bengals, 70% of users, so 30% with the Steelers. I like Ben coming back, and this is another one of those divisional upsets where I'm looking to gain some ground.
Look, I like Pittsburgh in this game. I think when you talk about Big Ben, he said that he has no problems moving around. He has no problems as far as throwing the football. What he worries about is if he's able to take a hit or not. And that's the one thing we aren't going to know until it actually happens.
But he's good at avoiding things if he has to.
He's good at avoiding things, and he's tough as nails. As much as he's a drama queen about it, he's still tough. Like, it takes a lot to knock that guy out of a game. And really, the Steelers have been these two defenses have both played pretty well in the fact that they don't give up a lot of points, but they both give up a lot of yards. So they're both bend but don't break defenses. The Steelers have a little bit of an advantage there as far as points per game, 18.7 compared to the 20.3 that the Bengals are giving up. Also, the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell has run the ball really well since he's been back, and their passing yards are dead, like almost like 26 in the league. They're terrible. But that's without Big Ben, obviously. I think Big Ben makes a big improvement in this offense. And I've seen the Steelers play some good teams tough. They beat the Cardinals, who I think are a decent team. Without Big Ben, they beat them on the road. I like the Steelers in this game.
Yeah, I don't feel good about my Bengals pick, but I'm going with it anyways.
I don't feel good about my Pittsburgh pick. I don't.
This is one of the harder games, I think.
Yeah.
The reason why it's hard is because a lot of them are evenly matched. When you look at the offensive line breakdown at how these two teams have been playing, both have offensive lines ranked in the top 10. And then so you might wonder, well, look at defensive line. Well, defensive line, they're both kind of middle of the pack teams as far as how they rank out. So it makes it difficult to really pick one way or the other, which is why I'm kind of giving the edge to Ben coming back and having that veteran presence. You know, they got Le'Veon Bell. They have a great receiver in Antonio Brown. It is hard to pick, but my edge is toward the Steelers.
And I don't know what Big Red's record is in Pittsburgh.
I don't think it's good.
I don't think it's good. And that's the other thing. I don't know that this is the time that he shakes those demons. I mean,
we'll see.
All been waiting for the other foot to drop on this Bengals team.
I think it either does or does. This is the week where it would if it's going to happen.
Either it will or it won't, huh?
Right,
either it will or it won't.
All right, thanks, man.
Good analysis from Jared.
Well, I mean, it could have happened any of the first 6 weeks, but I mean, if there's ever a time, it's this divisional game.
So, Jared, I have a very important question for you. Is it better to win than it is to lose?
No.
Oh, okay. I was very confused by that.
Of course not. Right. Never set the standards too high.
You're right. Lower the bar. Reasonable expectations. Well, Brandon, let's talk a little bit about this week's winners in the Pick'em League.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the winners. We have... So it's a pretty big group actually overall in the leaderboard for week 7, and we got running down the list here. We have 6 people finishing in the top. Yeah, Jared, one of them.
Skins.
You were one of the number ones. Huh?
Oh yeah, man,
you had a good week.
Yeah, 160 points along with Carrie 12, Blue Jay Rover, Dempster's Myers. And Pullman Kugok, and the last one, Seahawk Bounce.
Right on.
So those are your week 7 winners. You can go ahead and send an email to gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com, and we'll get something in the mail for you. And overall, let's take a look at the overall leaderboard among this group. And Bald Eagles and Beer hanging out on top still, 940 points. With the Blue Wave is on a roll right behind, with only 10 points back.
Watch out, Eagle.
And Natha and Topher GR33N. Topher GR33N, you need to change your name. That's too many letters and numbers that don't look like they should go together.
Yeah, that's a good point. Brandon, we came across a name today that I think you need to call out.
Yeah, well, this is in the number 5 hole. The Flying Nut Punch. Solid name.
I still think that we need some sort of award for best name. We need to take a vote at the end of the season and see which one wins.
Between the three of us, we need to pick our top 5 names.
Okay.
All right. And let's make a Facebook poll. We'll put it up on the Facebook page, and all y'all can vote on it. And we'll come up with a neat little prize for the winner.
Some of these are pretty genius, and they need to be rewarded for this.
It's going to be hard to come down to whittle it down to 5. That's going to be tough on us, because there's a lot of really great ones. And if we leave you out, man, trust me, it's not going to be an easy decision.
Yeah, going with 5 is going to be pretty tough. Blueberry Stud Muffin, obviously, toward the top for me. But
I feel like a blueberry stud muffin.
In the Patron League, we had 6 people in the top because nobody got 160 points. So that leaves Shermanator Salvation, Do Better Blues, DCH, Seahawk, Nevada, The Blue Wave is on a roll, A. McFish, and Summer Bow.
Oh, all right. Well, shout out to Summer for getting her picks in there and being towards the top there. And it's unacceptable when you beat me, Summer. Can't have that.
Unacceptable.
Can't have that.
But typical.
I found out on our Google chat the other night with all of the patrons that she's a NASCAR fan, and that's unacceptable also. She'll enjoy that. All right. Let's move on to our next game here. San Diego Superchargers on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. This was a difficult game for me, Jared.
Well, it's going to be a difficult game to watch, to be honest with you. These teams, they're both bad teams, and you saw the Chargers just get housed by the Raiders. The score does not reflect what happened in that game. I mean, they were up huge, and so they basically played clock management and allowed Phillip Rivers to kind of get back into that game.
Garbage time.
Yeah, but with the Baltimore Ravens, I look for the Chargers to rebound after that horrible loss a little bit and at least beat a very lowly Ravens team on the road. And the Chargers, to me, are a lot like the New York Giants in that if they lose 1 week, they're probably going to win the next week when maybe they shouldn't. I don't really know, but it'll be on the road, so I'm going Chargers.
I'm liking the Ravens this week. I think they've improved on offense. The issue that I've seen with the Ravens lately is, especially with tackling against running backs, and so you had a team with a pretty good ground game now. Arizona has a decent ground game, and they just could not seem to bring guys down. And I don't see the Chargers having that great of a running game. I see them having to throw the ball a lot because they've been down. And a lot of yards through the air for Phillip Rivers. So I'm going with the Ravens at home, 41%. It's going on a bit of a coin flip, 59% with the Chargers. And I'm liking the Ravens and Joe Flacco this week.
I guess another reason I'm going with them is I think that the Chargers are getting used to away games since every single week is an away game. And I think this is the week that they're really just going to be like, screw it. It's another away game. Let's try to win.
I hate this game.
So does everybody else.
I hate this game on a pick'em basis because the thing is what the one thing San Diego does well is the one thing that Baltimore doesn't do well. And Baltimore struggles in the secondary against the pass. And Phillip Rivers is a master there. But the thing is they went out, the Chargers, and drafted a back in the first round, Melvin Gordon, and they've thrown the ball 65% of the time this year. It's not that Melvin Gordon's any good. They're just not giving him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I've seen the Chargers struggle against teams that they shouldn't have, and I've seen Baltimore play some good teams really tough. I'm taking the home team, and I don't like it.
This is one of those I wanted to go with the Ravens kind of just because they were at home. But
and I don't like it. So Baltimore.
Yeah, Jared being his AFC West homer.
Yeah, and I think Baltimore struggles with the check down, which is what Phillip Rivers does a lot to Danny Woodhead.
You're a check down.
I think that's what's going to happen. But, man, what a crappy game.
All right. Well, speaking of crappy games, it's on to the toilet bowl.
You haven't done that in a few weeks, Adam.
I know. It felt really nice. A good crap's underrated, by the way.
Tennessee. I don't think so. I appreciate every one of them.
Yeah. See, some people don't. Some people don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Tennessee Titans on the road against the mallet-less Houston Texans. Do you think the Tennessee Titans all make the plane and make it to Houston, Jared?
I don't know what's going to happen. I guarantee that I will not watch this game. But these two teams are terrible. The Texans are at home. Going with them.
Brandon?
Wow. That's the only reason, huh?
That's it.
This Texan team is obviously in disarray. And they couldn't even decide if they wanted to get rid of Mallett after he missed the plane. You know, you had conflicting reports. The coach wants to get rid of him. The GM doesn't. And then finally they decide today that they're going to go ahead and get rid of him. I'm so disappointed with this Texans team right now. I'm over their GM, Rick Smith, who he's driven this team into the ground in the past couple of years. And so I say that as a, you know, with Texans, you know, being what might, what not, maybe top three teams that I follow. And now they've upset me to the point that I would be like a 49ers fan and just not go. And I'm going with the Titans.
All right.
30%, you know, only 30% of users going with the Titans, which is shocking to me that 70% would go with a Texans team that can't even decide to get rid of a guy who can't make the plane, can't wake up to get to practice on time. And I moved on.
Count me among the 30% because I'm going with the Tennessee Titans. They actually have a decent defense. I can't believe I'm saying the Titans' defense is better than J.J. Watt's defense, but it's true. There's nobody playing around him. And look, I mean, J.J. Watt was the number one player on the player list this year, right? And you can see he can't change a game around all on his own. That just shows you how little a defensive tackle can do as compared to a quarterback.
Especially when he's drawn all the double teams and there's nobody around him to do anything.
Here's the thing, Adam. I think he can. I think that he doesn't want to. I don't think any of these players want to play for this GM in Houston right now. And that's why you're seeing this team go down because they've given up.
So is this like when, as a parent, you like try to teach your kid a tough lesson by letting them fail a little bit? Is that what J.J. Texan's doing here? He's going to let them fail.
I think the team's given up. And even if J.J. may try hard, but I think even he probably is frustrated with what he's seeing there in Houston, and they're ready for a change, and maybe what they need to do is go 3-13 for something to happen.
So disenfranchised, so to speak, with the Texans. That's how JJ's feeling, you think?
Hey, if he feels like me, that's how he feels.
Well, and to be fair, they didn't release Mallett right away because they wanted to have two quarterbacks on the roster for that game. That's the only reason they kept him. The coach wanted him gone, but they're like, we need two quarterbacks on the roster for this game. So they kept him until they got back. That was kind of the reason.
And now it's time for TJ Yates.
So. They do have former practice squatter Zach Dysart from the Broncos on their team.
Wow.
But he probably won't play.
Yeah. Well, probably not because he's for Dysart. All right. So... moving on, this is a tough game for me to pick.
One of the better games of the week.
This is a good game. The New York Jets, who played the Patriots tough on the road, go into the Oakland Raiders, who housed the Chargers the week before. Derek Eyeliner Carr is really coming into his own. Amari Cooper, are we ready to say top five receiver in this league? Because we're getting close.
No.
Maybe top 10.
You got to play more than a half a season to be considered top five.
Remember when Randy Moss came in and wrecked the league?
He's not Randy Moss.
No, he's Amari Cooper. But I
understand the instant gratification and wanting to
throw
a guy. But
I'm asking. I'm not declaring. I'm asking. No. Okay. All right. So, Brandon, who you got in this AFC showdown?
Well, as you say, Amari Cooper, he's coming up. He's one of those names that you recognize. He's one of those guys that he's coming into his own, and this is going to be the game where he gets to go up against one of the best in the league in Darrelle Revis. So I'm really interested to see how he's going to play with that matchup, to see if they put Revis on him. I can't imagine they won't. But they do. The Jets do some different things. You know, they bring safety help over on the other side for Cromartie, but I'm thinking this is a game for the Jets because of the fact just their defense. I like it against the Raiders offense, and it's 73% of users going with the Jets this week, despite the Raiders being at home. Fairly lopsided with the Jets at 4-2 and Oakland at 3-3, but people liking that AFC East team. Mm.
You know, the Oakland Raiders are going to have a serious home field advantage this game. They just housed the Chargers. They have a franchise quarterback that I think is going to be really good for at least 10 years. I mean, he's making every throw he needs to. He's not turning the ball over a lot, and he's playing some good teams tough. Amari Cooper might be a little bottled up by Darrelle Revis. We'll kind of see. I'm really looking forward to that matchup that Brandon stated before. But there's going to be a serious home field advantage here. The Oakland Raider fans are really good. Now they got some hope in their franchise. It's going to be a hard place to win. And I've seen Derek Carr just grow in leaps and bounds. I think he's a legit quarterback. Adam, you want to talk top five, top 10. I think at some point he will be a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I think this year it's really starting to click for him, and he's getting better every single week. I think he edges out the Jets at home.
I think the New York Jets have enough momentum to achieve escape velocity from the black hole. I'm taking the Jets in this game only because, I mean, I watched Tom Brady bring the Patriots back at home to beat that defense. And Derek Carr's not Tom Brady yet. But I do agree with you in the fact that there could be a day where we're talking about Derek Carr top 10, top 5.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. He's that talented. He has a hose for an arm. I really like his game. And I think...
he's a smart guy.
I think this is going to be one of those games that Amari Cooper has earlier in his career that's take me to school kind of day.
With Darrelle Revis?
With Darrelle Revis. And he's going to learn a few tricks in this game. He's going to learn a few things that a DB can really do, a top-tier DB, that not every other DB that he comes up against that he faces. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. I like Oakland. I think they have a good team. I kind of look at them as one of the favorites to earn a wild card in the AFC. But I think the Jets are just a little too much on defense for them at this point. I'm going with the Jets.
Adam, you said everything that I wanted to say, but much more eloquently. So Well done.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome. Wow, I feel kind of proud after that. A button's about to pop off my chest. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself,
Brandon. That was a mistake.
I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself right here, Brandon, as we talk about Red's Apple Ale, okay? Because, you made this suggestion today to me over the text, and you were asking me a few questions. Like, I don't care, man. Just choose. It's your day. And you did. Uh-huh. And this is something outside of the box that I would not have chosen, but I think it has a very specific niche that it fits very well.
Well, when you talk about drinkability, I generally don't finish anything by the end of the show, or I'm very close to it. We're 40 minutes into the show, and this is gone. So when you're talking about drinkability, this is very easy to drink, 5%, and you don't really notice it. But it tastes, I think I can see where it might score low on the Beer Advocate scale, because it tastes a lot like the sparkling apple cider that you get on, the non-alcoholic kind that you get on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. But it does have that 5% in there, too. So it, really drinkable, really crisp. On a hot day, this would be something that I think a lot of people would enjoy. And I was a little bit surprised by it, too. I thought, based on some of the things people said, it might be overly sweet. I can see how some people might think that way. But for me, for my taste, it was kind of right on the money.
Everything Brandon said is exactly, I think, what I said pretty much when I first cracked this beer open.
Yeah.
And I compare it to one of those Starbucks Frappuccinos. If you randomly drink one of those, it's gone before you even know it.
Yeah.
And that's how this was. That's exactly how this was for me. I mean, I put my first one down pretty much before we even started the show, and I went to reach for it, and it was gone. I didn't even realize it had happened. But it's not as sweet as I thought, so I kind of like it.
You remember the treetop juice boxes that you used to get as a kid that you, like, stabbed the top? Imagine that carbonated with some alky in it, and here you go. The thing is the cider thing in America is starting to come on. In fact, down in Hamilton, Montana, uh-huh. there's a big cider. Do you call it a brewery at that point?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that you do. I don't exactly.
It's because not a distillery. It's not a brewery. It's a cidery.
It's a cidery. You just let it ferment.
But as far as ciders goes, I've had a few different ones. I'd have to say my favorite out of the ciders is Crispin. It starts with a C, and it's a lot drier, and it's way less sweet. Mm. This is fairly sweet, but, I mean, look, if you're 19 and you're going to a kegger and you're really hoping to get laid by that one cheerleader, this is the cheerleader beer that you bring. That's just a little suggestion from somebody who's too old to think about those things now.
I don't know whether I'm with you or not on that one. Well, I know where I am, but I don't know if I can say it.
Yeah, Adam took that to a really weird place.
I know, because look, it's got to be funny.
It kind of put it on the map for me. I don't know if I'm going to go out and pursue drinking this beer very often, but
I would do this over a Bud every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Adam would do a lot of things over a Budweiser.
Yeah, because I have standards.
Which cannot be named.
Exactly. Like, yeah, we're not going there. All right, so moving on to the rest of the picks. Going on to the Seattle Seahawks, coming off their shellacking of the San Francisco 49ers, taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry World. Jared, we'll go to you first here on this, because Brandon and I have kind of talked about this on the pod previously this week. How you feeling?
Well, who are they starting this week?
Matt Castle.
Good luck. I mean, I asked you before the show, are you guys going to end up his backup career? You're going to put an end to his backup career. If this was Tony Romo, I would actually pick the Cowboys at home, because for some odd reason, you guys do tend to struggle a little bit against the Cowboys. And it's a matchup thing, and I don't quite understand it, and I don't know if I ever will. If it was Tony Romo, I'm not going to lie, I would pick the Cowboys, but since it's Matt and not because they're the better team, again, just because they seem to be that problematic team. You know, they beat you guys at home for no reason the other year, and I'm going with the Seahawks, obviously, because this is just not going to be a good game.
Well, it'll be a good game because the Seahawks will win.
Right.
82% of users going with the Seahawks.
Yeah, we talked a lot about this, and I think that secondary of Dallas is just bad. And
yeah.
As long as they can keep Greg Hardy off Russell Wilson long enough to make a couple throws, which they will, and Russell's elusive enough to get out of a couple of those situations, Seahawks all day.
I got a question for Jared before we move on. between Matt Cassel and EJ Manuel, who do you have?
Manuel.
EJ Manuel. Because we've seen what Matt
Cassel. It's a trick question. This question isn't even worth your time. You should say, not worth my time. Moving on.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. Fair. I can't believe I got that wrong.
Everybody's going to get that wrong.
Well, moving on to probably the most interesting game of the week because it features undefeateds. Mm-hmm. Coming off bye weeks for both of them. Brandon, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers coming in to the Denver Broncos and Peyton Noodle-Arm Manning's house. Who you got?
Only for the fourth time have we seen two 6-0 teams play against each other. And Rodgers tends not to beat winning teams on the road. You know, Rodgers hasn't won against a team with a winning record since 2012. And he's also never played in Denver, which is what I something I thought was interesting. But I do have a question for Jared. And what do you remember about the 2009 Broncos, Jared?
I'm sorry, what?
What
are
you?
You're cutting out, Brandon. I just remembered that for no reason.
The 2009 Broncos that started out 6-0.
I remember that they didn't make the playoffs. They finished up 8-8 and did not make the playoffs.
It's true. It's true. But you know what? I'm going to fall on the sword here, and I'm going to go with the Broncos this week by picking them to win. I'm sure that they will lose to the Packers. But
you're a nice guy.
Way to take one for the team, Brandon.
I know. Well, somebody has to go with these 27% of users picking the Broncos.
Is it really that low?
It's that low. 73% with the Packers this week.
That's stunning.
Wow.
That's stunning.
Well, Brandon, when you're so low in the picks anyways, you might as well do things like this because it doesn't really matter. It's not like you're anywhere close. So, I mean, I get why you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that's most interesting about this game when you don't look at the 2009 Broncos is the schedule of the teams that both the Broncos and the Packers have played. So the record of the teams the Packers have played this year, 14-26. Mm. The record of the teams the Broncos have played, 13-27.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
we don't know about either of them.
We really don't. And I was saying earlier, I don't think there's a big gap between the undefeated teams and the teams that are not undefeated. Neither of these two teams have really blown anybody out. We've all been winning close games. And so, I mean, obviously one of these teams is going to lose. I think it's going to be the Packers just because Aaron Rodgers hasn't faced a defense like ours with this kind of fast pass rush coming around the outside. However, he does step up into the pocket well, but that's another place where we figured out how to get a pass rush too. The Packers aren't going to run the ball against us, which is problematic because we've shown that Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw incredibly well when he doesn't get any sort of ground game going. I mean, he's still going to get his yards. He's still going to figure things out, but he hasn't come across a defense like ours. Now, I think the problem in this game for us is that if they do score points, we are completely screwed because we cannot score on offense. We just can't do it. And so I don't know what's going to happen there. And also the Packers get Devonta Adams back from an ankle injury, so that's another weapon that Aaron Rodgers has to throw to. But I still think our defense is good enough, and our run game has picked up, and I don't see the Packers' run defensive being all that good this year. So I think at home I'm going to go with us because I do think that we have the better defense, a better run game, and we're going to win this game.
You know, one of the things I hear from Bronco fan all the time is our run game's coming along. Our run game's coming along. Our run game's coming along.
Because it is.
I've never seen it come along. Thomas Rawls has nearly as many yards as your running backs do combined.
Cool.
It's not coming along. So the run game is out. The thing
200-yard rushers in a row? It's not coming along?
It's not coming along.
Huh.
And
I don't know what you would call that then.
Not coming along.
Explain.
Because it historically hasn't been coming along.
It's fluky to have 100-yard rushers back to back then.
Two games? Yeah, that's as much of a fluke as anything else. Now, Okay. Now the thing is that I've seen Aaron Rodgers and the Packers struggle against teams that aren't that great. I mean, 17-3, their victory over the Niners. It wasn't convincing.
Yeah, 17-3. Boy, that's real close.
Well, it was close up until the end. Like, really, I mean,
Look, the Packers played clock ball in that the whole second half just to keep them from scoring more than 3 points. That's not a very accurate depiction of how well they play a bad team.
Look, I'll have to look back at their schedule here real quick because they haven't been just housing people. You know,
no,
like you
haven't.
Said, like you said, it's been close between the undefeated teams and the teams that are, you know, 4-4.
Defeated.
And, yeah, exactly. Defeated.
Well, neither of these teams have been housing other teams.
No, not at all.
It's going to be close. Now, you said Aaron Rodgers hasn't faced a pass rush like you guys. I think he has once, and it was against us. And we
guys' pass rush wasn't
we
like
knocked
ours.
We knocked him off the spot 15 times.
And then we'll do it 25 times.
You won't. You won't do it anymore.
Better.
No, they're not. Your pass rush isn't better. Your secondary has played better this year.
How many sacks do we have?
I don't know. It's not
We're
my job
pace
to keep track
for
of.
A record this year. We have the most in the NFL.
And Michael Bennett is tied for the league lead in sacks.
You have one pass rusher then.
And Cliff Avril and Bruce Irvin and Jordan Hill.
You're saying your pass rush is as good as ours.
It is.
Strongly disagree with you.
Well, you'd be strongly wrong.
Correct.
If the point is, as good as us,
you'd have as many sacks as we do, which you do not.
Sacks doesn't always tell the story because you play a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
We have more hurries than anyone else in the league,
who you give them all sorts of hurries, and he steps out of pressure. And I think that the idea that – is DeMarcus Ware going to play this game?
Yes, of course he is.
Okay, I didn't know if he was going to be back or not.
We got everybody.
All right.
Our whole pass rush, not just one guy.
All I'm saying is Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy that if you do get pressure on him, he finds that little hole to squirt out of, and he makes a play with his legs until he can bomb the ball down the field. The other thing that I think about here is I'm going to take – I can't pick a team who – has more of a chance to throw an interception on each drive, 15%, as they do to score a touchdown on each drive, 12%, like the Denver Broncos do. I think Aaron Rodgers scores more touchdowns than he throws interceptions. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, but I don't feel great about it.
Cool. I'll pick up another one.
Yeah, don't be offended, Jared, because this is going to be a close game. It's going to be close.
Well, they
because
all
every
are,
every game the Broncos have
be
played
close.
Has been close.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, I look at this and I think the first team to take a pick six back is going to win this game. And when I think about that, I would give the edge to the Broncos because how many pick sixes have they had this year? Almost one in every game.
Good Lord. Yeah. It's the only reason that we're winning games.
Also, I also saw Peyton Manning throw pick sixes against the Cleveland secondary, their second stringers. So that,
yeah,
it can happen. Who gets there first?
Exactly.
You know, one of the reasons I'm pretty confident about this Broncos team and the way that we have been winning games is that four of our first six games were on the road. You know, that's pretty tough. I don't care who you're playing.
It's hard to win
tough.
On the road.
And now we
it's
get a home game after a bye week. We're healthy. Our defense is this good. Number one in damn near every category in the NFL. I do feel good about this. If there's any time we're going to beat the Packers, it's right now.
There's only been one other team in the history of the NFL that has gone 6-0 and had a worse point differential than this iteration of the Denver Broncos. That was the 2000 Vikings. They finished the season 5-5.
5-5?
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder why they only played 10 games.
They finished the season 5-5. They started 6-0.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Now I'm up to speed.
All right. Math is hard.
I was told there'd be no math.
So they finished 11-5, but down the stretch, they were 5-5.
I'm going to say in all honesty, though,
this could be a good game.
I'm very much looking forward to watching this game. I really hope we get to. I hope we're not working because I want to watch this game because it's going to be tight. It's going to be hard fought.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to Aaron Rodgers against an amazing defense. And look, I've seen Aaron Rodgers wilt against amazing defenses. I've seen him come up big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying this like I know for sure. I just, you know, I need to pick against the Broncos sometimes for you.
Well, and one of the things that I'd said before is that if our defense plays not like a number one defense, but like the number two defense in the NFL, we lose games. That's how fine of a line that we are treading on right now with the pathetic way that our offense is playing. So if we don't play up to par as we have in these first 6 weeks, it's going to be a rough day.
Could be. All right. On to the Monday night game, AFC South team leading the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts somehow. They're lucky to play in that division against the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Jared, who you got in this one?
I'm going Carolina. I think Indianapolis' defense is pathetic. And frankly, Andrew Luck, he's just showing that he's not accurate right now. I don't know what his problem is, but he threw two interceptions last week.
He's still hurt.
Carolina's defense is good. Cam Newton's good. Their running game is good. I'm going Carolina at home. This is without question. I mean, I think Carolina's going to punch him in the mouth. They're a hard-nosed team. They're a tough team to play. And Indianapolis seems like, I don't know, they kind of seem like a prissy team to me. And
they're
I don't want to say that, but they kind of feel that way to me.
I think you're right, Adam. With this team, with the way Luck's playing right now, I look at him and I think that he has to be hurt. And it almost makes me wonder, that is it time to put Matt Hasselbeck back in?
Matthew could save the season.
I think it is too, but you know, part of me wants to see the Colts, you know, actually win the division at 6-10, because that's the way this division's going right now. And is it shocking to anybody else that the team's imploding after that horrible call against the Patriots where they lined up for the punt and decided to snap the ball? Yeah, this is Carolina all the way. 86% of the users. I'm shocked that it's that low, but I'm going with Carolina. Yeah.
Cam Newton is going to eat these boys for lunch. That's secondary. Like they've been signing guys not off the street. They've been going into the alleys and like finding people. Like it's the bottom of the barrel. Cam Newton's going to have a heyday in this game, and this is Carolina big. I'm going to say Carolina by 3 scores.
Probably not too far off.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool guys. Nice show.
Yeah,
enjoyed it.
You know what we haven't talked about, though? We haven't talked any Bills football with them being on a bye this week, right?
Right.
Wasn't this supposed to be a Bills team that was going to challenge the Patriots for the division? And they can't even beat Jacksonville at this point?
They gave up a stat to Bortles. I don't know how that happens. I really don't. You know the disappointing part with the Bills is the defense. And that really... I mean, as much as E.J. Manuel, I know he turned the ball over in back-to-back offensive plays, and they gave up touchdowns there. But he also threw some bombs, and he put some points on the board. Look, I mean, if you give up, what was it, like 30-odd some points to Jacksonville? I mean, that's
a problem.
That's not just on E.J. Manuel.
No, that's on the defense. What is going on? This defense for the Bills was supposed to be a good Rex Ryan defense, and now I look over at the Jets, and they have the defense that Rex Ryan wanted.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering if maybe Rex at this point is the problem. Well, I thought he was a good fit with Buffalo, but it's clear he's not. And you already have players who are questioning him. They did a couple weeks ago. And
Mario Williams, yeah, coming out and complaining about.
Among a few other players, you know. So who knows what's going to happen with this team if they don't have a leader that they believe in. They have a lot of talent.
I think winning cures a lot of things, you know what I mean? Like I think if they were winning, I think you'd see guys getting behind Rex. He needed to win early to try to galvanize that locker room because if you talk all this talk, but you're not walking the walk, there comes a point where all the players just start pointing at you, even if they're the problem. And that's kind of where it's been. Now, also, you got to understand, they had the cancer in their locker room, and that was Percy Harvin, who apparently is contemplating retirement or punching another teammate or who knows what he's contemplating. He's clearly done. It looks like this is his last chance in the league.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor getting hurt, I think, was probably between him and Shady having health issues all year long. I think that's been huge for them.
I think losing to the Patriots was huge for them because that team's clearly in Rex's head and they didn't recover from it after they lost.
When I've heard a lot of people talking about the Bills, where their problems, I mean, Tyrod Taylor's out, Sammy Watkins is out, Shady McCoy is out. But Brandon, like you said, the defense has been playing horribly. So there's no excuse. I mean, I know that time of possession plays into that. And when your defense is on the field that long, you're going to tire out. But giving up that many points to Jacksonville?
But ask the Broncos defense how many excuses they make for a poor offense. Zero.
Until it starts to turn.
Well, I mean, at least through 6 games, they said, you know what, if we have to
toe
the line,
carry him if we have
that's
to.
What we're going to do. Yeah. And I expected that Bills defense to be more on that line. They're a big disappointment for me. They really are.
Yeah. Okay, well, as long as we can agree how much of a disappointment they are, then I'm feeling satisfied with this discussion.
Boo.
So I talked so much crap about the Seahawks last week. I'm not going to say I felt bad about it, but I didn't, because I didn't at all.
No, I didn't feel like you would.
Before I forget to say this, you know, I was talking about the Broncos, the difficulty of the schedule of the teams we played so far, and the Packers and their difficulty. The Seahawks combined schedule of the teams they played, 26-18. Granted, if you guys had won some of those games, it would be 22-22.
Yeah.
But that's a tough schedule. That's St. Louis, Green Bay, you know, Cincinnati, Carolina. Those are good teams.
And you mentioned games on the road. It's the same thing with the Seahawks as the Broncos, the majority, because five of our last eight are at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So you guys are still in a good position to actually win that division, which is...
We got to win this one, though.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
This is the one. You get into the bye week. You have a week off. You're feeling good about your team. You come out and you put the pedal to the metal, five of the last eight at home, and maybe you get the division, you know, and a hope for a wild card. But really, if you don't win this one, you go into the bye week, you know, feeling down about yourself. That'd be a disaster. Yeah. So this is a must win.
It is interesting that you bring that up, though, Jared, because I saw today the Broncos, top three toughest schedule from here on out.
Oh, yeah, it gets brutal, and it's going to be a test to see if our offense can actually compete. Wow. I know our defense can because we are good. It's not just because we've had a soft schedule. You can see that these guys can play. But can we carry an offense for the whole season? That's rarely the case. You've only seen that a couple of times in the history of an NFL when a defense carries a team the entire way to a Super Bowl victory. In today's NFL, I don't really know if that can happen without some sort of offensive output.
I can only think of it once in a modern sense, and that Baltimore? Was the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I can really think of. And they played Kerry Collins in the Super Bowl. So.
Right.
You know, there's that.
There's a little luck involved, too, at the end of the day. Absolutely.
Well, just start thinking to yourself, Jared. Get it in your mind. One and done. One and done.
No way. Because we are a quarterback injury away from being a good offense. One quarterback injury away, Brandon. You keep that in mind.
All right.
Brock the Jock's going to come in.
Yeah, man. Kalispell boy. He's coming.
Yeah. All right.
He's coming.
We will see.
So I have one headline that I wanted to bring out there, and it actually has nothing to do with football. It does have something to do with sports, though.
Okay.
And to me, I knew about this issue a long time ago, and I could not believe. I was stunned that more people hadn't thought about this, but something finally happened in the International Olympic Committee. They have finally okayed for refugees to compete without a country to be named to them.
Oh.
I think this is big, because there are a lot of refugee athletes out there who have been moving around and can't compete in the Olympics because they don't have a host country. I don't see, I mean, I get that there are Olympic purists out there who won't agree with this, but this has been a long time coming. I
would say to that Olympic purist, if you have a home country, you have the benefit of training facilities,
everything,
the complete benefit of training within that sports program. If you're a refugee athlete,
struggle.
You're on your own. Mm-hmm. That you are your own country. You are your own island.
You're going to have to hope that you find a country to take you in to let you train at their facility.
Well, you better.
If that's going to happen.
You know what? If you're a refugee athlete, you better be dang good, because then they'll let you in right quick and in a hurry.
But I mean, I love the Olympics. I love the amateur sports. So this was a headline to me because I thought it's like this has been a long time coming. It was almost discrimination in a certain way. And I'm glad it's kind of been overturned.
All right. All right.
That's it. That's all I had.
Well, cool. I didn't bring anything to the table headline-wise this week.
I was just reading this email that came in for you, though, Jared.
All right.
Yeah, it says, screw you. Signed, all Seahawks fans.
There it is.
I deserve that.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Because I gave you guys the one and only compliment I had for you all season today.
Well, I think it was a good time to bust it out.
That was it.
Some fences needed to be mended.
You know, like we talked about before the show, I can't be hated all the time because, Adam, like you said, it gets lonely.
It gets lonely on the side of hate. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay, guys, great show. That was a lot of fun. And with that, there's only one thing left to say. Well, maybe two, and that is hooray, beer.
Hooray, beer.
Hooray, football.
Hooray, football. Hooray,
go
football.
Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you, inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.